Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, swirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, one and all, great and small, to the happiest place on earth, a magical land where nothing is bigger than your imagination, and the most thrilling ride is the one that scoots in one ear, zips around and around a zillion neurons and synapses, then splashes through a gray blob of cerebral matter until it pops out the other ear and makes room for the next visitor. It's a small, small world, but that doesn't mean we can't think big. It's a special world, but you won't find it on a map or in a tour book. It's a magic kingdom, but I don't need a wand, just two mini discs and a microphone. And you don't need a fast pass or a park hopper, just an ear, two ears preferably, and a speaker, and voila, radio. Well, it's my happiest place on earth anyway, behind a mic talking to you, saying what I want to say, being the entertainer I want to be, making my place on the air and reaching however many people with a joke, a piece of music, a moment that would have been less interesting, perhaps, had you spent it anywhere else doing or listening to anything else. That tops any theme park ever created by anybody, even a septuagenarian mouse. And I bring all these analogies up because I spent the week before Thanksgiving in Orlandoland. My wife had a conference there, so off we went to Disney World and SeaWorld for a day as well, and I'd never been to either. My wife had been to the Florida House of Mouse with her family many years ago, and I'd been to Disneyland in California about a decade ago. That was not my idea of fun, waiting 40 minutes in the blazing sun for a ride that does nothing but bring your lunch from the pit of your stomach to the back of your nose. But hey, I was told Epcot was more for grown-ups, and that even if you weren't into the whole roller coaster thing of Disneyland, Disney World made sure everybody had something to do. And SeaWorld was a no-brainer, because I love fish and water and swimming, so I was excited about doing this show tonight, so I could come back and tell you all about my experiences down in Florida, all the stuff we did. And I was also really keyed up, Florida keyed, I guess, because on top of talking about the trip, I have a little more to play of my interview with Christine Lavin. You know, if you've been listening the past 2 weeks, and if you haven't, shame on you! No tickets for Space Mountain for you! No, but if you were lucky enough to hear the last two shows, they were great. And it had nothing to do with me, it was all my guest, Christine Lavin, folk singer-songwriter of tremendous charm and wit and good spirits, in the studio with a guitar and a treasure trove of CDs. But the conversation ran overtime, so I recorded the tail end, about 15 minutes or so. What better way to greet the winter winds of December than with this cherished performer in the folk world? This is the 151st episode of Dave's Gone By, and as you can see, I have two reasons to be excited about it, and really happy and joyful, except I got one piece of bad news, of really irritating, stupid news that's put a damper on the week and directly affects this program. Let me get the bad news out of the way first. I'll save the good stuff, the Florida trip, Christine Lavin, for the next 50 minutes. But let me lay down the crappy news in the first 10. Longtime listeners to Dave's Gone By know that for more than a year, we've had a great arrangement with an internet radio portal called Live365.com. And this has nothing to do with the live audio stream of this show on WGBB's website, am1240wgbb.com. That's fine. You all know you can listen to this show, or any program on WGBB, by going to the station's website. You click a couple of buttons, and there's the show coming out of your computer. This is something different. Live365.com is an internet radio hub, kind of like satellite before that became really big news. You don't need a satellite. You just need a computer and a sound card. You go to the website, and there's dozens and dozens of radio stations made specially for the internet of all different types. Sports stations, talk radio, Christian, country music, nostalgic pop music, Irish music, soul, rap, Brazilian. If there's an audience for it, and someone with the talent and time and money to create a station, you can find it on Live365.com. I'm sure there are other hubs like it. That's just the one I'm most familiar with. Anyway, there are numerous comedy stations part of Live365. 24/7, you can hear old comedy records, novelty tunes, homegrown DJs, stand-up comedians. Every station has its own niche and style. It's really quite amazing. And it's all free. Unlike satellite, you don't need special equipment. You don't have to pay a monthly fee, unless you want no commercials. Then, I think if you pay $10 a month, you don't have to hear ads. And there may be a few stations that are quote-unquote premium, where you can't get them without paying. But even without those, you could channel surf every 5 minutes for a full day and not hit every station on Live365.com. Sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them, and I have done, because this show, Dave's Gone By, was picked up for rebroadcast on one of those comedy stations, DFSX Radio, run by a really nice guy named David Tammy. David heard about my show when my novelty song, Jeopardy Ken, was played on Dr. Demento many months back. So anyway, David and I struck a deal to put vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By on DFSX Radio. Free of charge to listeners, anyone can hear it, and David Tanney's been playing it on Thursday nights 3 times a night, like 3 o'clock in the morning, then 8 p.m., right after this show on GBB, and once more at 11. So lots of people had an extra chance to hear Dave's Gone By, which helped our audience grow and our recognition grow by leaps and bounds over the past year. It was a total win-win, because DFSX got a show they liked that fit their format, and that developed a cult listenership. And we got exposure and press and a West Coast outlet. There really was no downside. And I'm using the word was because it all came crashing down a few days ago. Not because of anything I did. Sometimes I get a little risque on this program. I pick a topic or do a character that not everybody finds as amusing as I do. But Rome doesn't fall. The Republic doesn't crumble. People turn their radios off for a week and then come back 7 days later and hear me doing something else. Such is working democracy. So there's nothing I did or said that would make the folks at DFSX Radio or Live365 pull me off the air. Or, not the air, the ditch, the wire. And it's nothing David Tanney did either. This wasn't a war of the suits, or some corporate decision saying my show didn't have the right demographic, or it didn't pull in enough 15 to 24-year-olds who buy one brand of blue jeans more than another. No, there was no firing, no shake-up, no freeze-out, no censorship, no fraud, no bribes, no hanky-panky, no forced retirement, no deaths, no bankruptcies, no nothing. All there was our federal government, those wonderful, bright people in Washington, D.C., putting their heads together to see how they could screw up radio and television even more than they already have, thanks to a little piece of legislation called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Now, this thing has been around since 1998, so you can't even blame it on the Bush administration. Can't even blame it on Michael Powell, the demon of the FCC, who, you know, when he was in power, went on a mission to stamp out indecency. Well, not so much stamping out as use it as a method of extortion. But Powell, the son of that hapless, morally decomposed former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, didn't assume the chairmanship of the FCC till 2001. So he's not the donkey to pin this tail on either. And let's be fair. The DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, was created to respond to a very legitimate issue facing musicians and performers working in the 21st century. what do you do about preserving an artist's rights in an era of iPods, downloads, multiple disc copiers, and consumer-grade machines that make audio and visual duplications not one iota degenerated from the originals? If a songwriter gets his song on a record, okay, there's rules in place for paying for that. If that song gets on the radio, okay, ASCAP and BMI have clear payment structures so that the songwriter gets a royalty. Now, should there be a method of compensating an artist if his song is downloaded 10,000 times? Or should a comedian be entitled to a little something every time his comedy routine makes the college circuit via iPod? The easy answer is, hell yeah! If they created it, they're entitled to the fruits of their labor. So the government set about making sure that having copyright on something still means that it's, on some level, untouchably yours. Somebody has to ask your permission or pay you if they want to use what you made or a portion of what you've invented in some other format. And I cannot blame the eggheads and the moneyheads and the union heads for sitting down and trying to hammer out a bill that would push these copyright laws into the new millennium. I mean, the entertainment industry has always had a ridiculous overreaction to home consumers copying and sharing music. The movie industry was terrified when VCRs came out, until movies started making more money than ever, and studios had a new revenue stream in selling tapes and later DVDs. The music biz honchos, they rang the death knell of their business when home users were able to copy CDs. Why would anyone ever buy a CD again? One guy would make a pristine copy, give it to a friend, that friend to another friend, then both friends simultaneously making copies for three more friends, and by gosh, Columbia Records need not bother press more than one copy of a CD ever again. It didn't work that way, did it? Record companies gouged and gorged on CDs. They were cheaper to make than vinyl records, yet they still list price at $16, and still people bought them. Until the great download spree of the aught generation, which is where we are now. So, yes, there need to be new rules for the new normal. But as in any revolution, babies tend to be thrown out, bathwater and all. And rather than sit down and figure out what's right, what's wrong, and what needs to be tinkered with and addressed, it immediately becomes adversarial. Government versus artists. Laws versus free expression. Censorship versus incomprehension. Okay, enough generics. Here's the upshot. I got a letter from David Tanney, the fellow who founded DFSX Radio. He emailed me to say, "Hi, Dave." That's my name, by the way, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and slowly budding anarchist. Tanney wrote, "Hi, Dave. I got some sad news to report. Sad news. Due to DMCA violations," DMCA being that copyright act, "due to DMCA violations, as in playing too many tracks from the same artist, I am forced to cancel The Best of Dave's Gone By on DFSXRadio.com immediately. Also affected are three other shows," he writes. So it's not just me. It's a whole host of hosts getting screwed here. "To the DMCA," writes David Tanney, "they think I'm playing too many songs from the same artist, which is to say, you, in a short amount of time, which is 1 hour. For legal reasons, I am forced to cease airing The Best of Dave's Gone By immediately," unquote. Okay, that's a little confusing, but basically what he's saying is, no, wait, I'm confused. What I think he's saying is that the Copyright Act is looking askance at Live 365 airing Dave's Gone By on the internet because I'm taking up too much time on my own show. Dave's Gone By is an hour of me, written, produced, and hosted by me. But because it's audio streaming on the internet, I'm not allowed to play more than a few minutes of me on my own show? Is everybody out there getting this? So I emailed David back and said, please explain a little further what the hell is going on. And if the DMCA has a problem with playing more than two or three tracks of me over the course of an hour, why not call the whole show one track? played straight through as one gestaltic piece of radio pie. Tanny replied that he's still waiting for a response back from Live 365, but from what he can make out from the cease and desist letter, he writes, Live 365 does not permit the show to be broadcast as 1 hour long track due to the need for each song used on the show to be labeled properly as per DMCA rules. Which just leaves me more kumbalixed and flummoxed than ever. Because that means this isn't even about, say, if I do a music show and play 4 or 5 songs by Dire Straits or Bob Dylan or Christine Lavin. This is apparently about the amount of me I'm allowed to put on my own program. It would be like the government coming to my house and telling me, look, it's your house, but you have to confine yourself to the living room and the downstairs bathroom. Anything more than that, you're taking up too much space. But I live there. It's my house. I give myself permission to be my own home invader in the Long Island parlance of the times. No, sir. It's the principle of the thing. You got to stay in those 2 rooms or else we're going to fine you $250,000. So, obviously, the folks at DFSX are running scared. I don't know how much money they have for lawyers, how much energy they have to fight this kind of creativity-stunting bullcrap. All I know is that starting next week, boom, Dave's Gone By will not be heard on Live 365 anymore, or at least for the time being while these things are being sorted out. You know, there's got to be a way. This makes absolutely no sense. If Garrison Keillor wants to put Prairie Home Companion on a website, does he have to cut his monologue in half? If Shakira gets 4 songs on American Top 40, does Casey Kasem have to cut one of the songs because the SPH is too high? SPH, of course, being Shakira's per hour. I would love your feedback on this, especially any lawyers out there. I know Howard Stern is hyping the hell out of satellites, and internet radio looks to be an equally varied alternative to the wasteland that is terrestrial radio. But just you wait. The government is going to stick its fat red, white, and blue ass into all of that, too. Couple of years, Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony will be fighting the same losing battles they try to on FM. Musicians will still be screwed to pieces by record companies. Radio programmers will be cowed into formatting the same old excrement in the same slick packages. The war is on, folks. The battle lines are being drawn now, in cyberspace and outer space. Pick your weapon, which is to say, your keyboard, your pen, or pencil, and start fighting, because this is just the beginning. I hope I can say it's just the beginning, and then discover that Live 365 does something, because it could also just do nothing. Internet listeners do nothing. Just go along like sheep while the government shears our testicles off. But hopefully, once the shock of this passes, David Tanney and the other folks at Live 365 will band together, figure out how to work within the system, or grab a few machine guns and machetes and chop the system into tiny reconfigurable pieces. And creativity and fairness can one day, somehow, coexist in American popular culture. Ha! So, in summary, for the time being, Dave's Gone By will no longer be heard on DFSX Radio. Keep checking my website, davesgoneby.org. Keep checking live365.com to see if the situation changes. And remember, again, this does not affect WGBB or this program's basic presence. Thursday nights at 7 on the dial and web streaming at am1240wgbb.com. That continues unabated, unabashed, unbowed. And we're trying to get more full episodes up at theaterpod.com. They're getting new servers, and hopefully soon you'll be able to hear a bunch of classic Daves at theaterpod anytime you want to. Right now they just have 1 or 2 up there, but things are looking good on that front, so knock wood. Man, I'm so friggin' tired of knocking on wood for things. Aside from the fact that it's a Christian superstition, something about the nails being driven into you-know-who's arms and legs, I would really just love to coast a little and not worry what's going to go wrong next. What new pain in the ass is going to have me reaching for emotional preparation H? I just want to do my thing, which people seem to like, which advertisers and sponsors are proud to support. But it's like the Springsteen song, One Step Up and Two Steps Back. Or the Bob Dylan song about men who rob you with a fountain pen. Or the Costello song about corporate radio people telling everyone to listen to the voice of reason, but they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. I want to bite the hand that feeds me. I want to bite that hand so badly. But hey, in the lyrics of Jill Sobule, a guest on this program a few weeks ago, I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to turn cruel. I don't want to get old before I have to. But hey, all this comes among a bunch of good things. We just celebrated our 150th episode on the air. We have these terrific sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, MortgagesRock.com, Performing Arts Insider Magazine. And we've been getting these wonderful guests, with more to come throughout this month. I've been healthy, thank God. I've been getting work done. I just did a cover story about Olympia Dukakis for Long Island Woman Magazine. And hey, I've just been to Disney World. So where do I go now? Find out after these messages.
Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 61 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. When are shows opening and closing? What are they about? Who's in the cast? Designers, writers, composers, and contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, cabaret, and dance. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when. All the facts at your fingertips. For more information, to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to PerformingArtsInsider.com. If they asked me, I could write a book. Well, they did ask me, and I did write a book, a collection of my comedies called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. If you like farce, there's The Triple Wedding. If you like dark comedy, there's Last Respects. And if your taste runs to the absurd, Blind Date. Something for everyone in Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it now at 516-295-1511 or through the Dave's Gone By website.
I'd like to tell you a story about what it's like to be a walking hypochondriac in the 1990s. Oh, but I can't because I'm not feeling good. I think I'm coming down with something serious. And I'd like to tell you a story about what it's like to be the pessimistic voice in the crowd everywhere I go. Oh, but I can't, because what difference would it make? Everything would still be as terrible as it is right now, so why go on living? And I'd like to tell you a story about how I've alienated everybody I've ever met in my whole entire life. Because you're so stupid. You probably don't even know what a big word like alienate even means. Life is hard. Life is rough. Life is cruel. Life is tough. Oh, like a dog stuck in a tree. I've been abandoned by humanity. And I'd like to tell you a story about how hard it is for me to concentrate. I'm so easily distracted every time I try to do my work. But I can't tell you about that because... Oh, when did I break that news? Damn, I hate when that happens. And I'd like to tell you a story about how I just can't ever seem to make a decision these days. I've become so undecided about everything.
have, but I can't, because...
Oh, yes, I can.
No, no, I can't.
Yes, I can.
No, no. And I'd like to tell you a story about how it feels to be extremely PMS right now. Oh, but I can't, because I don't feel like it.
Life is hard, life is rough,
life is cruel, life is tough, oh, like a stone stuck in a tree,
whoa, 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 whoa is me.
I really do think I'm coming down with something. I think I've got that chronic fatigue syndrome, the yuppie flu. I'd like to tell you all about it, but I'm too tired.
Hi, this is Christine Lavin, and you're listening to WGBB AM 1240, Dave's Gone By.
Speaking of your website, ChristineLavin.com, that's also the place where people can buy pretty much everything you've released, for the most part, musically.
Yeah, except my songbook is out of print, but I'm hoping to get that back in print.
And certainly your most recent record, Folk Zinger, on Appleseed Records. You've been on, you left Rounder for a while, you went to Shanaki, I think.
Shanaki, they promised me how they're going to promote me. Oh, it was like the biggest mistake of my life was to leave Rounder. But luckily, you know, we're all staying friends. And now I'm with Appleseed, which is a very nice company. Pete Seeger is with them, Donovan. Donovan is on Appleseed.
Oh, you bring up Donovan because you mentioned him on your album, right?
I know. Yeah. When I wrote that and covered the song Tell the Story, I had no idea we're on the same label.
Wow.
So it's
and also, Tom Paxton's last album was on Appleseed.
Yeah,
so
they're a very, very nice company. And anything that you know that's connected to Pete Seeger, you know, is on the up and up because he's such a national treasure.
And I do have to kind of wrap this up, but I do want to hear any Pete Seeger stories. And then I have another question to ask you, but
I do have a great Pete Seeger story.
Cool.
A couple of things. I did a show where I got to sit next to him on stage the whole show and with other performers, and he leaned over to me in the middle of the show, and he goes, "Hey, do you need a joke for your show?" I went, "Pete Seeger asked you if you need a joke for your show. What are you going to do, say no?" So I said, "Yeah." He goes, "This is what you do. You look out at the audience and you say, does anybody here believe in reincarnation? If they say yes, you say, nice to see you again."
That's a good one.
That's a Pete Seeger joke. And
that's cute, actually. At least he wasn't trying to unplug your amp. It's like, they can't hear the words. No.
He's so sweet.
No, no.
But this summer, I was at the Hudson River Revival, which the Clearwater, which is his project. And we were setting up for a humor workshop. It was Modern Man, the trio Modern Man, Zoe Lewis, who's just... Do you know Zoe Lewis?
I'm sorry, no, I don't know.
ZoeLewis.com. ZoeLewis. She's got 3 albums. Oh, she's just funny, clever, wonderful productions. So I met her there. And they're setting up the sound, and it was taking a little bit of time. And there's about 1,000 people sitting in the grass. And over on the side where the performers were all sitting, watching the... waiting for it to start, Pete Seeger's just sitting there, and we're like 50 feet from the Hudson River. The weather had lifted. It was suddenly this gorgeous day, but the sound wasn't ready, and people were getting a little antsy. But George Wurzbach of Modern Man, he knew just the story to kill time, and he looks out at the audience, and he says, "Can I see by a show of hands how many here have ever seen the television program Law and Order?" Of course, every hand shoots up. And he said, "When I'm sitting here, seeing this beautiful Hudson River, seeing Pete Seeger over here, it reminds me of a recent episode of Law and Order. It started like this. These cops are fishing a dead body out of the Hudson River. And Lenny Briscoe, played by the late, great Jerry Orbach, says to the cops, 'You know, when I was a rookie cop, it was my job to fish the floaters out of the Hudson River. But thanks to Pete Seeger and the Clearwater pals, it's not such a bad job anymore.'" What a great story! It's true!
Did they actually use that line on the...
Yes.
That's nice!
Yes! That's like, Pete Seeger, you go on. You, when you're in a script of Law and Order, you know you've made it.
That's cool.
But it was so funny because everybody clapped and looked at Pete, and he was kind of thinking, what the hell? Because I'm sure he doesn't watch Law and Order. He probably doesn't watch TV at all. But it was just, that was my favorite moment of the whole day.
That is good. Speaking of favorites, do you have a favorite song or two of other people and also one of yours after all these years?
Gosh, Bob Franke, he has a song called For Real. Do you know Bob?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Because I ran into him at the New Bedford Folk Festival, and he has a new live album called Another Night in Chicago, where he not only sings For Real, but the track before he tells the story of his father in World War II. And it's just such, he is such a brilliant writer, and it, every time I hear it, it just slices right through me. I just love that song so much. So when I get home, I'm going to tell him to.
Please do. Please. Right. Seriously. Away. Yeah.
And a song, favorite song of mine?
Yeah. Oh, no fair picking from a new album. Oh. Come on. That's a little bit too craven. You don't have to play it. You can just say, you can play another one to play us out. But I'm thinking of all the, it can be, or Folk Singer if you want. Is your favorite song of yours on Folk Singer?
No, actually, the song that people ask for the most is The Kind of Love You Never Recover From, but I hardly ever sing it because it's hard for me to sing. Because
not the one that people ask for the most, because the one that is the closest to you, that you feel like, oh, that's the best thing I've done, or that's the one that came most from the heart, or the funniest, or...
Do you want me to play it?
If you want, yeah, I was just asking for the title, but please. Is this The Moment Slips Away?
Yeah.
I love that song.
She's a famous actress, movies and TV. I recognize her as we climb the stairs of the IRT. We cross the street together. We're moving up Broadway. I'm trying to come up with something clever I can say about how I love her work, what it means to me, how in her most recent film she acted brilliantly. Maybe she'll think I'm stupid. Maybe this will make her day. But she disappeared into the crowd, and the moment slipped away. At the time, I didn't know the name of the actress. I just knew that she played Goldie Hawn's mom in Private Benjamin, and she played the mother of the boy with blonde hair in Breaking Away, that great bicycle movie. And I recorded the song in 1986. And by then I knew that her name was Barbara Barry. So it was around 1995, I actually got a note from her. She said, "Dear Miss Lavin, I understand that I am the actress in the first verse of your song, The Moment Slipped Away. I think it's a lovely song. Here's my phone number. Please call me up. Let's have tea." So, sometimes I'm very shy and I never called her up because I didn't know what I would say. I was sort of embarrassed. So anyway, years go by, pages of the calendar flip. And in August of 2001, I was a guest on a little radio station in Connecticut called WXPN. They were doing their membership drive, and I was the guest asking people to send in money. Now, I'm very, very bad about asking for money. I'm always afraid when I'm on the air, nobody's going to call. I'm going to look like a big loser. So I said, if you call up and give the station $100 while I am here, I will bake you a loaf of pita pan au chocolat, and I will FedEx it to you so you can have it for breakfast. 18 people called up to the station. So then I had to make 18 loaves of bread, and I was trying to figure out when I could do it, because it takes 10 and a half hours to make pita pan au chocolat. You started the night before. So it just happened that I was able to do all of it over 2 days, September 8th and 9th. And on September 10th, I got to Federal Express by 8:45 with 18 little packages to mail out these pita pan au chocolat loaves of bread to these wonderful supporters of public radio in Connecticut. Now, the thing is, I was on such a baking jag that what did I do after doing those 18 loaves of bread? I went home and I thought, you know what? I'm going to make some more. So I started, you make 4 loaves at a time. I started to make 4 loaves of bread the night before on September 10th. Well, on September 11th, 2001, when I woke up, And so what was happening down in Lower Manhattan, I wasn't about to bake that bread, so I put the starter into the refrigerator, and I ended up over at my friend Martha's house. And like probably everybody that day, we were glued to the television, but we were 5 miles from ground zero. We wanted to help. We wanted to give blood. There was nothing we could do. We were just hysterical. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to bake some bread. My friends were like, what? You're going to make bread today? I said, I started it last night, and at least it's something I can do. So I went home, and I finished making the bread. That's the second step, takes about 3.5 hours. And I was listening to the news and heard that the firehouse in my neighborhood, Ladder 25, some guys are missing. So when the breads were finished, I wrapped them up, and I brought them over to the firehouse. Because I don't know what it is, but whenever you cook or you bake and there's something wrong, firehouse guys, you want to help. And so by the time I got over there, there were already candles and flowers. And for the next 2.5 months, when I was home in New York and had time, I had 10.5 hours in a row, I would make pet a pan au chocolat for the local firehouse. This went on till about mid-December. One night I was walking over to the firehouse with my breads, and I saw the firemen see me, and I saw them whispering and pointing, and I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. I wonder if there was something wrong with the last batch of breads. When I got up to them, they didn't know my name or anything. They just said, lady, you've got to find yourself a new hobby. I said, well, was there something wrong with the breads? And they said, no, but we all just had physicals, and we've all gained 20 pounds, at least 20 pounds. So the doctors have told us, no more sweets. Everybody's baking us cookies and cakes and breads. I said, but they're still warm. And he said, I'm really sorry. Please find a new hobby. So I was so embarrassed. But, like, we were all crazy those first few months after 9/11. And so I thought, well, you know what? I'll find another firehouse to bake for. So I went to the grocery store to buy more ingredients to bake more pet a pan au chocolat. So there I am with my shopping cart in Fairway. I'm going down the aisle. And who do I see with a shopping cart? Barbara Barry. So I start following her. We go down one aisle and up another, and she just turns around and she says, what? I said, I'm sorry, Miss Barry, I'm Christine Lavin, the songwriter. I wrote The Mama Slipped Away, and you said I should call you up and have tea. And she said, that was like 7 years ago. I said, I know, but I'm shy. So she was, her demeanor completely changed. She was so sweet. And then she saw the little shopping bag with the four little breads in it that I had, and she said, what's that? And I didn't have time to make up a story. So I said to her, well, I've been sort of baking for the firehouse, you know, since 9/11. They lost 7 guys. And I went over there tonight, and they said they've all been putting on weight, and they can't eat it anymore. So she said, I don't have a weight problem. I'll take them off your hands. Kind words don't move the earth, but if they can improve your self-worth, why do I let these moments pass me by? Instead, I am quick to judge and I'm quick to blame. I'm quick to criticize, quick to maim. It's hard to change, but I'll try. So maybe it's your best friend or the next stranger you see. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's me. Who needs to hear encouragement to make it through the day? Who needs to hear whatever kind words you might have to say? It doesn't matter where you're going or where you have been. Right now is the perfect moment for us to begin to appreciate each other in new and different ways. Please don't let another golden moment slip away. Appreciate each other more and more each day. Oh, now, please don't let another golden moment slip away.
what golden moments we have had with Christine Lavin on Dave's Gone By. And it's funny that that song even brings the whole conversation full circle, because the first story that we were talking about was about your meeting Joni Mitchell and letting that moment slip away. And I thought that, you know...
You've got a good memory. I have no memory of that.
Well, you got older. What happened 70 minutes ago is like gone. But that's a lovely... I'm not touching that story. That's lovely.
Well, thanks, Dave. And thanks for playing this music, because it's really... It really is harder and harder to do this for a living these days. And if we didn't have people like you...
Yeah. I wish I were doing it for a living, but there you go. Christine Lavin. Please go to ChristineLavin.com, everybody. Get a copy of Folkzinger or some of her older albums. There, so many are terrific. Bo Woes is one of my favorites, but there's also Future Fossils, Please Don't Make Me Too Happy, Compass. There's a bunch of them. Also, you can get the book Amoeba Hop.
Right. Amoeba Hop. It's made for kids from 7 to 9 years old or younger if they're geniuses. And if you're listening to this station, I'm sure you must be a genius.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're genius because you can get it on your antenna. That's how. Anyway, Christine, it's been so terrific and so wonderful. You were invited back anytime to the neighborhood, considering it an open door.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your music. Eat. Eat. Use. Use. Buy. Buy. Look at me. I'm the American consumer, and I want to spend my money on stores, restaurants, showrooms, travel agencies, mail order catalogs. Sell me stuff. But how do you reach me? Well, I listen to Dave's Gone By, so if you advertise there, you'll certainly have my attention. Dave'sGoneBy.org has all the details, or email DavesGoneBy@AOL.com for the rate card. I'm listening. Sell me what you got. Sir, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Are you photocopying your butt?
Yeah, isn't it cool? I want to send lots of copies.
Not in a public library.
I know, it's so expensive here. 25 cents a cheek.
No, I mean, why not go to Hewlett Minuteman Press?
Hewlett Minuteman Press?
1315 Broadway in Hewlett. They make copies, they can laminate it, print it in a booklet, put it on a mug.
My ass on a mug? Wow!
Call 516-569-5577. 516... Hey! Stop it! You can't copy that!
But what do I put on the other side of the mug?
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this December 1st, 2005. I wanted to tell you about my trip to Florida just about a week or so ago. Sorry I took so much time with this Copyright Act nonsense. I feel it's very important. I had no intention of bringing that up this week, except obviously it came up. And it doesn't leave me much time, unfortunately, to talk about my trip, but I did want to mention a few highlights, mostly highlights, of my wife and I, that sounds right, our trip to Orlando. She had a conference out there, kind of interesting. Conference was supposed to be in New Orleans, and weeks ago, obviously after Hurricane Katrina happened, the folks who were putting it together went scrambling to find another place to do it, and they picked Orlando, because it's like Conference City. Everything's set up there. All the hotels, and they have one convention center already, and they're building another one. So, I don't know, and hopefully they won't get wiped out by a hurricane at some point. But anyway, we were down there. She did some conference stuff, but we also had a lot of time to do some other things to take advantage of what Orlando has to offer. So first of all, we ended up staying in the Hotel Buena Vista Suites, which was not a Disney thing. It wasn't on Disney property, and had a lot to recommend it. It was pretty cool. I mean, when they say they're suites, they really are. I mean, we got kind of an upgrade, but it was big and rather nice, rather spare, not what you would call a luxury hotel, but a little nicer than a motel would be. And again, you know, one big bedroom, a big sort of conference room sort of area, a middle place with, you know, two sinks or three, I think. Really, really rather neat. Only complaint, and it's rather a big one, was that in the middle of our stay, at 5:40 in the morning, as a prank, apparently, someone pulled a fire alarm. So suddenly all these people are running out. Now, it wasn't so terrible, because a lot of those people were going to Disney World and would be getting up fairly early with their kids anyway. So maybe it stole an hour of sleep
from people. We would have gotten up a little bit later. But it was still, you know, you don't want to be woken up on a vacation at 5:45 in the morning by idiots ringing a fire alarm. I would say this, you know, you get kind of angry at the hotel, but the sprinklers worked, you know, the stairways were wet, and people were getting out. But people really are kind of dumb when they're just waking up and they're flummoxed and slightly panicked. It's kind of like, you know, we're all stumbling around in the hallways. There are lights and everything, but people are like, they think one door is an exit. It's marked exit, but we're not 100% sure. You know, I'm remembering certain things, so I'm feeling the doorways. I'm making sure to touch the door before, you know, the knob, just in case the knob is really hot. And then I hear, like, one person say, oh, yeah, the hell with it. I'm waiting for the elevator. And I'm like, no, you don't take an elevator during a fire. What the hell is wrong with you? And so we all start, you know, trudging our way down the staircase. Minute we get, you know, four flights down, it's not one of those huge high-rises, thank goodness. It wasn't like a 50-story hotel, like, God forbid, the World Trade Center, where you've got to go down all these steps and stuff. So it wasn't that big a deal, but, you know, the minute we hit the first floor, it was a no, false alarm, everybody go back to sleep. Not even really an apology by the hotel people who were as pissed off as we were. But anyway, I want to spend the whole time talking about that. We did some other cool things. We, of course, it was Orlando, so I went to SeaWorld, because I'm very big on, you know, ocean creatures and the like, and saw the manatee tank, which is, you know, a special thing for me. I just love those gentle, ridiculous creatures. They're like giant floating pieces of furniture, and then they don't do anything. They kind of motor their way along slowly, and they come above the water and go, you know, and then sort of like a mouth spout, and then they go back under, a little bit like seals, and really a bit more like love seats. And the penguins were really cute. You know, you go on this conveyor belt, passing this enormous penguin tank, and these two little penguins were doing kind of a dance together. Not like choreographed or trained or anything. They just sort of hung together like a pair. When one would turn, the other would turn. They both lift their little legs. Anyway, it was really sweet, what can I say? And the most fun thing at SeaWorld, oddly enough, had nothing to do with fish or underwater creatures. They had this show called Pets Ahoy that my wife especially wanted to see because it dealt with rescued animals. They took rescued mostly dogs, but all kinds of animals that would have been, you know, either put to death or perhaps adopted out, but most likely, you know, not a particularly good future. Save particular ones for training and put them in this show that had almost no humans in it. It was all little bits and vignettes, and, you know, there would be a set, and you'd see dogs run out of one door and go into another and ring a bell and do all these cute things. And then there was really this whole, like, 3-minute choreographed sequence. It was all animals. The ducks would do one thing, then mice would be chased by cats and go through this little hole, and then cats would come out the other end. And cute little gags right out of the silent movie era where, you'd see a shaggy dog going in through a door marked haircuts, and then you come out this little shaved chihuahua. Of course, they had the one that we loved the most was 25 cents for wieners, a sign like that. And, you know, out came four dachshunds running across the stage. My wife and I have two dachshunds, and we're huge dachshund people. Well, what can I say? And the one thing we did not do at SeaWorld, although it was terribly tempting, is they have this special extra area where you can swim with a dolphin, which sounds like tremendous fun and you know, a wonderful way to get in touch with nature. But they charge like $200 for swimming with a dolphin. You can go to like a tank and kind of lean over and touch them for free as part of like the entrance fee. But if you want to actually get in the water and scuba and swim with them, they charge like $240 to go and do that. And I'm like, even if I had the money, I don't think I would do that. Sorry, dolphins. Maybe if it were with manatees. And, okay, you know what? I haven't even gotten to the Disney stuff yet, because we went to Epcot, and we went to Animal Kingdom, and we did some other stuff also, went in Orlando, and I do not have time to do that on this show, so I'm going to try and make room for it next week for part two of Orlando stuff. But right now, I have just enough time to finish up this show's stuff, and we'll do that right after this.
Extra, classic episodes of Dave's Gone By here, show after show of comedy, music, and madness, as only Dave can do it. Only $12 per CD. Relive great moments like The Giving Chimp, and musical magic like Making Poopies. Classic Dave's Gone By, just $12. Makes a bizarre but thoughtful gift. For a list of shows, see davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Extra, classic Dave. Get them while they're hot. Are you filled with uncontainable rage against everything and everyone? Try the special Jimmy and Robin Stress Reduction Plan. 3 hours of hardcore punk, metal, and grunge rock mixed with wild comedy from a crazy crew. Visit jimmyandrobin.com and hear Jimmy and Robin, Midnight Fridays on WGBB. Feel better?
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Long Island, Performing Arts Insider Magazine, your guide to Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond, and by MortgagesRock.com. Andy Leibowitz founded MortgagesRock.com as a way to take the voodoo out of mortgage originations. You find folks who want to buy a new house, or refinance their current home, or get a college loan, or do home improvements, and you help give them the loans they need at affordable rates without all the mumbo-jumbo. MortgagesRock.com explains the terminology and takes you through this process step by step at your own pace, your own comfort level. MortgagesRock.com, making money never sounded so good. And speaking of good sounds, tune in later tonight, 9 to 10, to hear Filler Up, an hour of music hosted by yours truly on WGBB. Good stuff tonight, including Kate and Anna McGarrigle, and a birthday tribute to one of our greatest living songwriters, Tom Waits. And hey, when it comes to songwriters, our guest tonight is pretty high up there, too. Christine Lavin. Please buy her excellent CD, Folkzinger, available at her website, ChristineLavin.com. Also, this being holiday gift-giving time, for the bright child in your life, or preferably in the life of someone else you only have to visit, get a copy of Christine's children's book, The Amoeba Hop, based on her classic song. The illustrations are fabulous, the science is valid, and The Amoeba Hop just won a Best Book for Children award from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. So, if you've got your eye on a cute paramecium, well, this is the book to make him feel sillier and sillier. Oh, and Christine is going to be back on the radio next Saturday night, December 10th, at 10 o'clock. Not on this program, but on a show called The Folk Song Festival, hosted by Oscar Brand. Now, this is major news for two reasons. The first is that Oscar has had this majorly influential career. He's the guy who compiled and sang all those naughty ballads about the Navy and the Air Force, bawdy songs and backroom ballads, as well as folk songs from all over the world. He's second only to Pete Seeger in that regard. And Oscar's radio show, The Folk Song Festival, has been airing on WNYC in New York since December 10th, 1945. Probably the longest continuously running program in the history of American radio. Maybe radio anywhere. And it's devoted to folk music. Oscar had Bob Dylan on before people knew who he was. Joan Baez, The Weavers, Leadbelly, Woody Guthrie. What an array of legends Oscar Brand has shared with listeners over the past 60 years. And he's a legend himself. So his 60th anniversary show airs Saturday the 10th at 10 on WNYC, not the FM station, 880 AM. Christine Lavin will be on it, Gene Ritchie and Guy Davis, taking part in this truly historic broadcast. And I'm proud to say that 2 days prior to that, Oscar Brand will be a guest on this show. He'll talk about all these world-famous people he's interviewed and sung with, his early days in Canada, the Broadway musicals he wrote, and his work helping to develop a little TV program called Sesame Street. All that and more, next Thursday, December 8th, 7 p.m., on Dave's Gone By. Thank you, Program Director Tom Ross. Thank you, beloved wife, Joyce. Happy birthday, beloved mother-in-law, Rosemary. And happy December to all of you. See you next Thursday for the 152nd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Up yours, digital millennium copy wrongs, and gone by.
This is the darkest hour of your longest night. You've never been this powerless, or prayed this hard for light. Wish there was something I could do to pull you through, but the only one who can handle this now is you. This is as bad as it gets. If you can make it through this, I'm willing to bet that you will make it through anything the world will throw your way. Ever been. If you can reach deep down, tap the power within, I know that you will find the strength to make it through the day. This is the coldest night of your bleakest year. It's hard to fight all the forces that have brought you here. Between the anger and pain, amid the losses and gains, there's a space. If you can find it, you will rise again. Give up or give in when your life